this was an embarrassment today. We all need to accept the fact that we embarrassed ourselves in front of our home crowd.
I've never seen a group of guys so pissed off and upset about a loss. Everybody knew App State was a good football team, but everybody knew they're not 49 points better than us.
They're a little motivated after nearly losing last week. So, you know, ODU has its hands really full this week.
You are inside the Monarch Asylum podcast, episode 5. My name is David Agudelo. I am the host of this podcast, brand new for 2015, talking all things Old Dominion Monarch football. Very excited for this podcast and want to thank everyone for the support they've given so far. If you like what you hear, please share it. You can follow us on Twitter at ODU Asylum. Also, just search Monarch Asylum on Facebook. Like I said, there's going to either be a butterfly page or this radio podcast page. So follow the podcast, please, on Facebook. And once again, on Twitter, it's at ODU Asylum. That's the best way to follow and get in touch. I send a lot of updates. And if you got a question or maybe an interview you want to hear, please contact me over Twitter. That's the best way. Who did we hear from at the top of the program? The voices you will hear on the show today, Bobby Wilder. While we do not have an interview with Bobby, those were his initial post-game reaction comments after last week's 49-0 loss at the hands of Appalachian State. And they were pretty telling. You could tell Bobby was pretty stunned. We'll get into that in just a minute. The second voice we just heard was Tyler Compton, starting center. Tyler, very, very good insight on how this team affected his team and what they're doing to bounce back from this loss. And the third voice, Doug Smock, Marshall beat writer for the Charleston Gazette-Mail. He comes on the show to break down all things Thundering Herd, so we know kind of what to look at offensively and defensively. What do they expect to do? Let's get a little business out of the way. First of all, the winner of our last Lynn Haven Coffee gift certificate goes to Orlando Wynn, tweeting a picture. He watched the game at home from his television set, took a beautiful picture of his two dogs playing in front of the TV set. And unfortunately, it was the most action. He probably had more fun watching his dogs wrestle than watching that ODU game, because it was not a pretty game, as we all know. Now let's talk a little bit about that game. Old Dominion loses 49-0. Okay, people, this is what I want you to do. Take a deep breath. Relax. It's one game. There's no time to panic. Listen, I know it wasn't pretty. It was ugly. When you're turning off a game with a couple minutes to go in the third quarter, it's not pretty. It wasn't. We had a little bit of a run in the first quarter, but then it got rolling downhill and it got away from the Monarchs real quick. Like I said, this is not a time to panic. We knew what this year was going to be going into it. The first full year in the FBS. A redshirt freshman quarterback. Three seniors on offense. The third youngest team in NCAA football. We were going to have growing pains this year, folks. And if you don't realize that, maybe you're a little delusional. The days of winning 40-10 on a weekly basis are history. The teams are just too good now, and ODU is on the bottom of the heap working their way up. I consider it a point of pride that they've never had a losing season. But they're also, that was very difficult to do. And for them to do that again this year, they're going to have to get to 6-6. You know, and another thing real quick, can we stop all this talk about the bowl games right now? Listen, a bowl game, that's gravy. That's icing on the cake at the end of the year. But every time I turn on any kind of analysis for a pregame, all I hear is they need to win this game to make a bowl game. They need to win this game to make a bowl game. How about we just need to win this game? You win your games and take care of business down the road. All that takes care of themselves. Let's just worry about the next game, which is Marshall. But people, relax. They're going to fix this. This is a problem that will get fixed. We have the third youngest team in college football. You have to remember that. And throw on top of that, we no longer have the best player on the field at any certain game. That was a definite the last couple years. When Taylor Heinicke walked on that field, ODU had the best player on the field, which is even more evident now that he is a quarterback in the National Football League. So people, we need to pull in the reins a little bit, realize the days of big blowouts are over right now, and that most of the games ODU plays are going to come down to the last drive of two. Now, as far as this one last week, it hurt. I admit it hurt. No one, I think everyone was shocked by it. It's considered the worst loss in school history, at least for my vote it is. And it replaces the loss last year from Marshall, who they got to face this week. You know, going into this game, Appalachian State was a school at the same point as Old Dominion. First year in FBS, this was really a measuring stick to see how we would do against a comparable team. And, well, it was ugly. And you could hear it and see it in Bobby Wilder's face after the game. Right when this game ended, he walked off the field. He had an interview with Wavy TV 10 and Fox 43, Brian Parsons, friend of the podcast. And I just want to play this first soundbite for you.
I wanted them to know, everybody, myself, coaches, players, that this was an embarrassment today. We all need to accept the fact that we embarrassed ourselves in front of our home crowd, and there's no getting beyond that. Everybody needed to leave here tonight, nobody more so than me, knowing we embarrassed ourselves at home. But tomorrow, I'll pick them back up and explain. That was game four of our season. There's 12 games to go.
Bobby was stunned. I mean, you could see it in his face. You could see it in his eyes. Go to wavy.com and look up this clip. You can just see it. Even afterwards, he admitted that this is the worst he's ever seen the locker room in all of his years at ODU. But you know how I know this one hit Bobby Wilder hard? Let's listen to that bite again.
That was game four of our season. There's 12 games to go.
Did Bobby say 12 games to go? That's how I know Bobby Wilder was stunned by this one. Bobby Wilder, after games, knows statistics perfectly. He has one of those weird brains that he can remember statistics from a game from 4 years ago. He can remember how long a third down was on the second drive in the second quarter after the 15-yard penalty. He's got such an analytical mind after games that it's really kind of scary sometimes. And for him to say they have 12 games left, that shows you that he was put on tilt a little bit on this one. And he should be. He should be. It was not a good performance, really, on either side of the ball by his Monarchs. Let's take a quick look at this game. The offense was just awful, again, for the second week in a row. There's no other way to put it. 175 total yards, 42 rushing yards, 133 passing yards, 4 turnovers, 2 interceptions, a couple fumbles. Ray Laurie didn't even play in the second half. He had all his rushing yards in the first half, and then they rested him once the game was completely out of hand. You know, I really think what I took from the game, I feel this is the first time the Monarch offense truly missed a tight end. They lined up in 4 wide receiver, 1 running back sets a lot, wanting to spread out the defense. But with teams not truly respecting the passing game, they're keeping another linebacker in there committing to stopping the run. They're just not the holes there by spreading out that defense that you've seen in the past. Like I said, I just think they really missed the tight ends in this game, that extra big body to go in there to keep that extra linebacker. Tyler Compton actually talks about this in the next segment, how there's that extra linebacker down there that they're having trouble blocking. So they're seeing 3 linebackers as they used to see 2 linebackers in the past. Towards the end of the game, we did see a little bit of adjustment. I did see how they started to keep Jonathan Duhart in closer to the tackle, maybe to help with some chip blocking or just to give her a different look, which that might be something they have to do down the road. Another problem with this game, time of possession. It's the 3rd and 4 games that ODU has not been able to have an advantage in the time of possession clock. 35 minutes for Appalachian State, 24 and a half for Old Dominion, and like I said, the 3rd game this year, losing the time of possession battle. And for what's supposed to be a ball control offense, Old Dominion cannot survive that way. They need to maintain drives, which has been a problem, particularly the last 2 games, but specifically the last 2 games. Listen, I know, like I said, it's no time to panic. This was the hardest stretch, arguably, in the history of ODU football. These 3 games in a row, from NC State to Appalachian State and now to Marshall. The 3 toughest game stretch in ever in this program's history, and it comes in their first year, full year, in the FBS. So you have to keep that in mind too, people. Now listen, I always like to say, I have a saying, you get punched in the face, how do you respond? ODU got punched in the face. They got punched in the gut, they got punched in the kidneys. And they got kicked when they were down. They took a beating. in every way on that field. But my question is, how do you respond? You know, I always think about Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. His rookie year in the NFL, he was awful. He was terrible. And everybody was quick to write him off. Oh, he's terrible. He'll never be an NFL quarterback. But I always said, he got punched in the face. How does he respond? He went back and he changed everything about his offseason workouts, and he's a different quarterback now. So how is this ODU team gonna respond from that? Well, Bobby Wilder, he mentioned that after the game as well. He talked about that.
And the last thing I said to him is, everybody's character is revealed when something like this happens. Either you turn a setback into a comeback and you show who you truly are, or you get exposed. And I've got a lot of faith in the kids and coaches in that locker room, and the goal now is to turn this setback into a major comeback.
You know, all of those sound bites are exactly what I want to hear from my head coach. You know, too many times you hear in football, you need a short memory, you need to forget these games. I disagree. You don't want to forget these games because you don't want, as a player, to feel that way ever again. So you don't completely forget them. I think you saw for the first time this team taking ownership of this loss when they had that team meeting Sunday morning. Bobby Wilder later talked in some press conferences this week about how the team texted him and wanted to meet the next morning. There was a players-only meeting Sunday morning for half an hour, and they talked about what went wrong, and they talked about wanting to get better. Then they met with the coaches and talked, what can they do to prepare better and practice better and carry that forward? One way they talked about was needing more physical practices, increase the intensity level. So that's where they're at right now, and that's where they need to be at. They got punched in the mouth hard, so now they have to punch back. And it'll be interesting to see how they do that this week. Listen, we're going to talk a little bit more about that team meeting and the struggles of the offense. That's going to come up next. Tyler Compton, probably the best interview so far this year with a player. He goes in-depth on how that loss affected the Monarchs and what they're doing to make sure it doesn't happen again. Tyler Compton, coming up in a minute.
Off with your head. Dance to the dead.
Back in the Monarch Asylum, we've got a junior center out of Prince Anne High School, Tyler Compton, with us. Tyler, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, listen, I got to jump right into it. Normally, I like to warm up these interviews, but especially after that game against Appalachian State, just kind of a stunner for, it seemed like everyone on the team and the fans, just kind of a stunner for really the whole program. What was it like in that locker room after that game?
Well, I think the best word for it is probably solemn. You know, I've spoke to some of the guys, and I'll tell you right now is the attitude in the locker room was worse than even our loss to North Carolina. I've never seen a group of guys so pissed off and upset about a loss. Everybody knew App State was a good football team, but everybody knew they're not 49 points better than us. And that was, not a good day for us. Period.
What do you think you and your teammates, can you learn something in a defeat like that? I know that's usually the cliche thing, is there's always something to learn, but is there?
I think the thing to learn is to never settle with where you're at technique-wise and playing level-wise. You know, we came back today and had a very physical, very serious, very focused practice. I think that's the best thing you can do after a loss that bad, is you got to take your embarrassment, you got to take how upset you are and how pissed off you are, you got to put it into practice and be a better football player because of it. It's, you know, you can't sit there and dwell on the loss and, you know, wonder where all these things went wrong. You just got to be a better football player and make sure that never happens again. sometimes you get your butt kicked, and you know what? It'll make you better for it because you never you experience that feeling, and you never want it to happen again.
I know Coach talked about it too. Is I know everyone in football talks about you have to have a short memory and you got to forget things. But I also think when you have a loss like that, you kind of need to own it, and you kind of don't want to forget at least a little bit of it.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think the big thing is you can't let the loss affect your play on the field. You can't sit around and think you're the best football team because you lost 49-0. But you have to remember how much you hated losing like that. Because when you remember that feeling, you're never going to want to lose again. I think everyone came out today with such a serious attitude because we don't ever want to see the scoreboard look like that again. We don't want to get booed out at home. We don't want to have the fans feel upset. You've got to remember the feeling, but you can't dwell on it.
Have you noticed a practice like that before? I mean, you could notice basically across the board how more focused everyone was.
You know, I think we've had some losses before where we bounced back with really serious practices, but I don't think I've ever seen one where everyone was this focused. Everybody is dead set on never letting this happen again. So, I mean, like I said, I think this was probably our worst loss in program history. So it doesn't really surprise me that this was probably the most serious and focused practice.
Absolutely.
I think it's the nature after you have a loss like that.
No, absolutely. I noticed also how Coach Wilder mentioned how some of the players contacted him Saturday night and there was a meeting Sunday. I know how rare that is, especially in college football. Were you a part of that meeting? And what did the players want to address?
Well, we got all the players together and a lot of guys spoke. And really the big thing we just wanted to focus on was guys understanding that, hey, we lost. We lost badly. And now it's time to move on, get focused, and get serious. We addressed practice habits. You know, some guys talking about making sure every play a scout team is the hardest rep you can get. You know, you want to make sure that scout players aren't loafing around so that your starters and your backups are getting very serious quality reps. On top of it, we changed some stuff around, so now we're doing more one offense versus one defense. We're looking to really up. In that meeting, we were talking about upping the level of competition we're getting in practice. You don't want guys to get complacent and being okay with where they are technically, because that's when these big losses happen, is when a team says you won't fail, maybe the exact same thing week to week. We want to get better and better and better.
That's completely understandable. So I just got to ask you, the next question is the offense. It has been struggling. What does the offense need to do to improve?
In order to improve, you got to get better first and second down. I think that's one of our biggest things is we get behind a lot. So, you know, first down, we got to have a mentality, especially as an offensive line. You know, more than anything, I'm going to speak to you as an offensive lineman. And first down, when we run that football, mentality has got to be 4 yards minimum. Minimum. Because we have to get ourselves ahead for second or down. And second down, we got to get positive yards. So third down, we have options. One of our biggest mistakes so far is, you know, we're getting stopped on run plays for no yards, 1 yard, and we're getting to third and 7, 8, 9, 10. We got to really have a mentality early on, every snap, that we're going to gain yards, we're going to gain a nice chunk of yards, and we're going to consistently move the ball down the field. We're just not on the same page right now. And once you have a couple of three and outs, you start feeling like you're out of rhythm. You know, we just got to come out place one, establish that rhythm, and get going.
Yeah, it's like getting the ball rolling, because if you have a team that has to live in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 10, it's hard. You get kind of predictable as an offense, and it's really hard to get into the groove that you guys feel comfortable in.
Exactly. You know, it's 3rd and long is good for nobody. You know, defensive backs know it's a pass, so it's going to be a hard time for the quarterback receiver. The line are getting in their pass for us, so it's a hard time for the other line. We got to get to that 3rd and manageable. By setting the tone first and second down, so it's better for everybody. Once you get in that rhythm of moving the football, everything's easier. We always talk about an offense of trying to get that first down. That's when we start moving the ball the best. I think that was even true versus Appalachian State. We had some mistakes that shot us in the foot, but you know, we had a couple drives where we got one first down and then we started rolling. But we had a ton of three and outs. We got to go to three and outs as an offense, because we get that first down, we all start to feel that rhythm. We all start to get going, start to get the defense on their toes with our speed, and everything's better. So all about first and second down mentality and getting that first down.
Yeah, I heard a statistic that, of course, this is last year's statistic, that You guys scored a touchdown 75% of the time when you got a first down on the first drive. So your first drive, when you touch the ball, you get that first down, you scored 75% of the time, which kind of goes to what you were saying. You kind of get that rhythm and you kind of get the ball flowing.
Yeah, exactly. We feel that level of confidence, too. So at first down, I don't know. It's hard to describe, but there's a level of confidence that, you know, I feel that's offensive lineman. You get that first down and you're like, hey, we're moving these guys. We're moving the ball. We got this. Everything's good. Let's keep it rolling. Let's keep them on their toes.
It's the nature of football to blame the quarterback when you see an offensive struggle. How have you seen Shuler handle the adversity from the last couple games?
Oh, yeah. Shuler is a professional. I mean, I've never seen a young guy so serious, such a hard worker. He knows how to handle things well. So, you know, I know he's taken all kinds of flack, and it's, you know, everyone deserves flack. It's not just him. You know, all 11 guys, all the backups deserve stuff. But I know he's getting a lot because he plays a high-profile position. But Shuler is coming to work as hard as he can. I think he's working harder than ever. And I think more than anything, he, as well as all of us, wants to prove all the doubters and haters wrong. So, you know, he's handling it fantastically. He's a professional.
We got junior center Tyler Compton with us. A couple more questions for you, Tyler. I couldn't help but notice, I think this last game is the first time I kind of noticed that you guys were missing the tight end a little bit. I think if you had that, you know, I know you lost your top two tight ends in Melvin Vaughn and Adam Swan. It seemed to me that the offense is kind of a work in progress, but I just kept thinking a couple times. I was like, man, nice to have seen a tight end in there. How has it been kind of adjusting? I know he was supposed to be Melvin Vaughn was supposed to be a big part of the blocking scheme. How has it been kind of adjusting, you know, without that tight end in there?
You know, obviously it's difficult without Melvin and Adam, and we're really hoping for big contributions from him. And I'll tell you is, you know, last year when we came out with no tight ends, we saw a lot more one linebacker, two linebacker looks. And now it seems that we want to run through seeing three, four linebackers. So, you know, we're getting used to running with more in the box, but there's no excuses out there. And, you know, I heard guys stressing out there like, man, there's so many guys in the box, but we got to be executing perfect. You know, there's no excuse out there. No, whether we got a tight end or not, it might be tougher. But we got to go out there, we got to do our thing, and we got to block. You know, the coaches aren't putting us in a position to fail. So we got to go out there, we got to make our blocks, and maybe there's a little less room for error. But we got to be that perfect because we got to carry this offense.
When you take a step up in FBS, which you are, the games never get easier. And now next week, you get if the loss against Appalachian State was the worst ever, as some people say, it replaced last year's loss against Marshall. 56-14. What do you remember about that game?
You know, I remember two big things from that. And I remember one, the feeling of the loss and embarrassment, being so upset to lose that way at home. But I also remember preparing the next week. And one of the big takeaways was, I think we ended up running for over 100 yards and such. And we talked about it as a team, saying, hey, you know, you can't take everything negative away from a game. Obviously, we don't want to lose like that again. We don't want to play like that again. But let's take this smash mouth attitude and really try and run the ball and guys be physical and attack them. So, you know, it was a tough loss, but we remember trying to take that attitude and move forward with it.
Is that kind of the same mindset you got going in? I mean, what's the mindset of the team right now going into a tough place to play, Huntington?
Well, the attitude is definitely physicality this week. We want to go in and we want to be a tougher team than we were last week because, you know, whether we like it or not, we lost badly. So we want to go in there. We want to compete every snap. We want to compete until the whistle blows. You know, a big emphasis on an offensive lineman is blocking until the very second that whistle blows. Not letting up because the D lineman lets up. Going until that referee tells us to stop. So, you know, we want to go in there and we want to be as tough and as physical and as mean as we can be.
Tyler, thank you very much for your time. Tyler Compton, junior center for the ODU Monarchs. Tyler, good luck this weekend with you and the entire team as you go into Huntington and try and get that first Conference USA victory this year. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
She tastes like midnight. She tastes like wine. She tastes like midnight. She tastes like wine. Gonna run my finger. Oh.
right, continuing on in the Monarch Asylum podcast, very excited for a new segment we're bringing with Conference USA Play starting this week, trying to bring on an opponent team's beat writer to break down the opponent a little bit so we go in knowing what we're looking at. And this week we have welcoming Doug Smock to the Monarch Asylum podcast. He's the beat writer for the Marshall Thundering Herd for the Charleston Gazette Mail. Doug, how you doing today?
Pretty good.
Let's talk a little bit about this game. I know looking at what's the attitude there with Marshall? I know they had a really big win, a double overtime against Kent State last week.
Well, there's a sense of relief in that game. You're not Marshall had beaten Kent State 10 times in a row, and nobody really expects them to lose that game. But we thought it was going to be a tough road game, and it was. And freshman quarterback Chase Litton kind of a very clutch on a 4th-and-3 play in the first overtime, and then Marshall won in the second overtime, and it was a bit of a relief, and Marshall can go home and play there the next two games, including Saturday at ODU.
Talk a little bit more about Chase. I know that Michael Birdsong started the season. He went out with an injury. What's the quarterback situation? Is it Chase now? Is it his job for the foreseeable future, or where are you at right now?
It's job Saturday, that's for certain, and we think he's going to start the rest of the year. Michael Birdsong, his arm's getting better, his shoulder's getting better. He is throwing again. And the coach says he is going to compete for the job when he gets back to full health. So we'll see how that goes. But my interpretation, they did not want to pull Chase Litton's red shirt if he wasn't going to be the man. And that's just a guess, an interpretation there. So look for Chase Litton Saturday.
And tell us a little about him. I know looking at his numbers against Kent State, not the most amazing numbers, 14 of 36, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. What's his style of play? What can we expect?
Well, he kind of got welcomed to college football last week. Marshall is down their star right tackle and has been down their starting right guard. And Kent State mounted a pretty good blitz scheme, and he got very acquainted with the number 51 during that game. So, and he made some bad throws and some bad decisions, and he knows that. But he's a big, tall guy, 6'6", can really see over the pocket. And when he steps into a throw, he can let loose, and he's got a pretty good arm. And he's got a rapport with his receivers. I looked for a better game from him this week, as long as he can handle the rain. And yes, folks, there will be rain Saturday. I know y'all don't want to hear that, but you get another Saturday of rain.
ODU fans are used to it by now. I think it's pretty much rained almost every game this year, so they're almost used to it by now. But does he do much with his legs, or he's basically going to be back there slinging it around?
He'll be slinging it around. He'll be getting the ball out pretty quickly. He's run a few times, but he prefers not to. He's not the scrambling Rakeem Cato type, if you remember him from last year.
Oh, so, yeah, we remember a lot of from that game last year, unfortunately.
he's not that type. So, you know, expect more of him in the pocket and expect more from the running back, you know. But they let him throw. They don't, they're not too conservative with him. A little conservative.
Now let's go on to that running back. You mentioned it. Once again, you guys had another injury with Devon Johnson, but I mean, Tony Pittman steps in and only puts 129 yards and 2 touchdowns up. And where are they at? Is that going to be Tony Pittman's job again, or is Devon going to be coming back at all?
Devon Johnson may miss again Saturday. And of course, their number two back, Remy Watson, has been out for several weeks. So if it's falling to Tony Pittman, the third-year sophomore, and he, as you said, he was very strong in the second overtime. Second down, he gets 18 yards. Then the next play, he gets the final 9, and he was very, very difficult to stop in those two downs in particular. He's a hard runner, sort of like Devon Johnson, but not quite as big. You know, you may remember Devon was a absolute load, and he ran for 199, 200 last year in Norfolk.
Yeah, and Pittman seems like, I mean, just looking at the numbers, he looks like a grinded-out type running back. I mean, that was his longest run, 18 yards. So he seems to me like he's not going to take it to the house, but he's going to make you work to bring him down.
That's pretty accurate. He's not looking for the home run necessarily, but yeah, you're going to have to body tackle him. No arm tackling there.
You know, when I look at the Marshall offense, I kind of see similarities with the ODU offense. You've got a young quarterback, you want to rely on the run, and you don't have a wide receiver core. You don't have that one guy that scares you on the wide receiver core. I mean, it seems to me like you just got a lot of pretty good receivers, but not that amazing guy.
That's pretty accurate. They thought they might get big things from Devontae Allen out on the X, but he's had trouble separating. I think the tougher threat is Deontay McManus at the Z, and he's the one who got switched from tight end last year and had a breakout game at Old Dominion. He's a big, strong receiver and can wrestle you for the ball, but he's having a little trouble getting separated. The man who had a big game last week was a tight end, Ryan Juracek, a big sophomore who really came on as a freshman last year and really surprised everybody. Nobody expected much out of him, but by the first week of camp, you knew that he was not going to redshirt. He had two tremendous catches that, you know, they had to review for several minutes to make sure he got in bounds, but he did. Very, very big game for Juracek. He's tough to stop.
We're talking to Doug Smock, a beat writer for the Charleston Gazette-Mail, Marshall beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Doug Smock. I always like following the opposing team's beat writer on Twitter, at least game week, because you get nice little insight and everyone kind of seems the game a little differently. Let's talk a little bit about the defense. I'm sure you know that ODU has been struggling on offense after two dominant first games. The last couple weeks they've come down. They've had some problems kind of protecting the quarterback. Who on the defensive line do you think is maybe excited to play this game? Because ODU has had some protection problems.
Everybody.
Fair enough.
You get news that the offensive line's having troubles and injuries and, you know, being shuffled around. And the offensive linemen in interviews this week don't even bring it up. You know, they'll say we're improving ourselves, we're looking at ourselves, but they're itching for some sacks. They've been close to getting a lot more than they have, and they had a pretty good pass rush, but no sacks to show for it last week. They're ready to get it on, believe me, and you've got tremendous linebackers behind them who they can get into the quarterback's face too, and they will.
And I also see another similarity is it seems like you have a strong secondary, 6 interceptions in 4 games. You got a couple veterans back there.
The safeties are very good. Taj Lettman, junior college transfer, he's a senior. He's had a tremendous season so far. Taquan Lang had 2 pick sixes to win the game against Purdue. They are difference makers back there. Taquan doesn't look very big at all. He looks more like an undersized corner, but he's a ball hawk. Lettman's a ball hawk. And the corners are coming along. Rodney Allen kind of had a breakout week last week, though he's not listed as a starter. Just number 11, just keep an eye out for him.
Well, ODU has been running 4 wide often. That's kind of their set right now. 4 wide receivers, 1 running back. They were hurt by losing a top 2 tight ends earlier in the year. Listen, for ODU, this is a big game. Coming off arguably what people feel is the worst loss in school history, and you know that replaced last year's loss to Marshall. So they have a bad taste from last week's game and a bad taste from last year's game. Even factoring all that in, what do you think on this game? How do you think it plays out, Doug?
Well, another problem for ODU is Marshall is a much, much better team this year at home. And if you were playing them in Norfolk and were a little motivated like that, you know, you probably have a little better chance because Marshall's been weak on the road. They lost on the road. They barely beat Kent State on the road, but they have historically played very well at home, and they're happy to get back. And they're, you know, they're a little motivated after nearly losing last week. So, you know, ODU has its hands really full this week.
Yeah, I think what's the stat I saw? Your Marshall is 144-26 playing in that stadium?
Yeah, it opened in 1991. They were in Division I AA through the 1996 season, and they've kept on their successful play. You know, some of their best teams simply wouldn't lose. They might lose once every other year. Last year they had maybe 10, 11 game winning streak until Western Kentucky came in and beat them in that wild game in overtime. So it's historically they play a lot better at home. Sometimes, you know, there's too much of a gap for them to have a really good team, but they are really much better at home.
Last question. Do you do predictions at all, or do you just pick winners, or do you do scores? Do you like to do that or no?
Let me bring something off the top of my head here. Maybe a 38-7. I think ODU is going to have a tremendous amount of trouble scoring on that Marshall defense.
Well, I hope you're wrong, but the last couple weeks, you might tend to show that you might be right. Doug Smock, I can't thank you enough for the time, for coming on, being one of the first beat writers I've had on the podcast. And like I said, I hope you're wrong this week.
Well, for all those who are coming up, I'll tell you what, the weather forecast, we'd like it to be wrong. It's supposed to be in the 50s with 100% chance of rain, so bring your ponchos if you're coming.
All right, we will. Thanks, Doug. Thanks again. Have fun this weekend.
Thank you.
Well, I really, really hope Doug Smock is wrong. 38-7 would really, to me, not show any progress on this team. But I know he sees it from a different viewpoint. So let's talk a little bit about this Marshall game. What do I want to see? Well, they got to get the running game back on track. That's obvious. 567 rush yards the first 2 weeks, 39 in the last two. I mean, that is close to Jekyll and Hyde as you get in any sport. I think, how do you do that, though? You can't keep running the same way you have been. With some of the injuries now at offensive line that they may see, with a couple players maybe being out, they just can't line up their five linemen four wide, hoping to spread out that defense. That's not working. They need to do something different. Like I said earlier, I think we saw a little bit of a glimpse of it with Jonathan Duhart playing a little bit closer to the tackles in a couple formations. Maybe he can help chip block or give a different look. At 6'3", 212 pounds, he's not the size of a tight end, but maybe that little tweak or that little chip can help and give Shuler Bentley just a little extra second to maybe get some of those play action passes off. Zach Pascal also has some decent size on him at 6'2", 214, so maybe you see him line up closer to the tight end. I also think maybe you throw six linemen out there. Possibly, is there a defensive lineman who has a little experience blocking or playing offensive line where maybe you can put him in as a fullback in some certain situations? I think at this point, it's all hands on deck for the ODU Monarchs. You need to find whichever way you can to move the ball, and you're going to need some wrinkles. On defense, highlighted this week by the promotion of two true freshmen on the defensive side of the ball, Tim Ward and Miles Fox. Two guys, Tim Ward at defensive end, Miles Fox at defensive tackle. Two guys who have made plays the first part of the season. Tim Ward, of course, remember the big tip interception from Eastern Michigan, and Miles Fox had a pretty big stop in the Norfolk State game that helped cause a fumble. These guys, combined with those Shane Zimonies, have shown the potential for making plays this year, and they're going to need it this year, especially with this game particularly. They're going to really need it this game, particularly with the quarterback they have back there. So to me, the keys to this game
for Old Dominion, if they want to beat Marshall, this is what needs to happen. They need to move the chains on offense. That's an old Bobby Wilder mantra. Just move the chains and everything will take care of itself. Build some confidence on offense when you move those chains and give the defense. You're going to give the defense a bit of a rest. The three and outs are really hurting what's been a pretty good defensive performance. I know they've given up a lot of points. But when you have that many threes and outs, and when you're losing the time of possession, like we talked about earlier, on a regular basis, the defense is going to wear down and you're going to have problems. So move the chains on offense and do it using some creativity. I need to see some misdirection on offense. I need to see some of those trick plays that sometimes Bobby Wilder is good at. I don't want you to go crazy with the trick plays, but I need some misdirection. I need the line shifting one way and tossing back to the other way. The misdirection has proved ODU has had problem defending the misdirection, so maybe it's time for them to use some of their speed, like a Vincent Lowe and a Ray Lowry, in at the same time. You can't guard both guys when they're both going opposite ways of the field. Use your strength, use your speed, use some misdirection. On defense, they have to win the turnover battle this game. The defense needs to force some turnovers. They're going to need to come up with at least one or two turnovers, hopefully to give the Monarchs offense a short field. There's nothing like getting that nice interception or strip sack fumble inside the 20, setting up your offense for easy scores. The defense needs to help the offense and not have to rely on that offense to go 80 yards every time to score. And listen, they've got a true freshman quarterback, Chase Linton, back there. He's a big guy, 6'6", not a scrambler. He did not have a particularly great game against Kent State last week. Let's hit him. Find a way to hit him. Find a way to get him a little bit rattled. Force him to make some early throws. And that's when the interceptions comes. That's when the turnovers come. I wouldn't mind seeing Shadow Williams, too. He's a big kid. I wouldn't mind seeing him come in some linebacker blitzes, too. Hit those holes, come through, and hit Litton. Make him make quick decisions. And if you can make a true freshman make quick decisions, odds are you're going to win out on that. And the final key to the game for me is play hard. Tyler Compton talked about it. They got to play hard. They got to play through the whistle. They can't give up on any plays. Hopefully, I don't know if that was completely the problem the last couple weeks, but if the players think it's a problem, then I'll listen to them. So they need to play hard. And listen, if it gets down 14-0, if they start to trail a little bit, they can't give up. They got to continue to play hard. So what did we learn today? Well, that's what I learned from Tyler Compton, that they're going to play hard. The players are owning this loss, and they know they need to increase their effort and increase how they prepare, their practice habits. They need to fix those. And I like that. I like that when the players can step up and take responsibility for that. From Doug Smock, I learned that rain's going to be an issue again. If you're making the trip, bring your rain gear. Hopefully it's not too terrible, but that's not what it's sounding like, which is not going to be good for the ODU offense. Just another obstacle for the ODU offense, which has been struggling. But luckily, they've got several games under their belt playing in the rain, so maybe it won't be as big an issue. As for predictions, I'm not a big fan of predictions. But I just don't see ODU winning this game unless they play their perfect game of the year. Like I said, forcing some turnovers, getting some short fields, and taking advantage of field position. They need to play their best game of the year if they're going to pull this off. I think they lose the game somewhere around 30-17. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but it just doesn't seem to be lining up. It's such a tough play, Marshall. That team is a 144-26 in the history of that field. That's pretty good. I mean, that's really good. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope next week I get to talk about how wrong I was. But anyways, I'm looking forward to this game. I want to see what they're made of. This is it's a nice test game after being hit in the mouth, after putting one of the worst performances I'm sure a lot of those players ever played in on any level of high school they played in. I want to see how they bounce back. I want to see how they react. I want to see how they respond. And I'll be keeping my eye on that. Well, that's it. That's going to wrap up this episode of the Monarch Asylum Podcast. Like I said, if you like what you heard, please tell your friends. Please share on Facebook. Please tweet. I'm at ODU Asylum on the Twitter. I'm open for questions, suggestions, anything you want to talk about. Just hit me up on there. And that's it. So we will talk to you next week. Go Big Blue.